On to the next item, which leaves you in the hot seat for 18, end of the year sales report.
Correct. So I'm going to have you turn to page 59. This would be agenda item number 18 on your agenda. We'll start and go through these sheets. We wanted to kind of give you a little update on the month of December, but more importantly, an update on how we ended the year, and provided some different statistics in here this year that maybe you haven't seen in the past. So hoping to maybe try some new things this next year with our Go Outdoors system, getting better reports from them that we can share with you folks and really help you along with ourselves understand the pace of our work and what's going on. So we'll start with the first one, page 19, just a quick couple comments about December. You can see we had another good month. Not a lot of dollars in the month of December come in, but nonetheless, we were up 13%. A couple positive things I would point out. Permits continue to be up. Our entrance license permits are up 19% for the month. We're hoping, we're doing a lot of marketing to try to sell them over the holiday seasons. And although we can't survey people and find out did you buy it because of Christmas or whatever, we're hoping that is the case. And then secondly, if you look down at the camping services, we're up 9%. That's a combination of next year's reservations going on at Custer State Park coming in already, and then also our year-round lodging facilities that can be reserved year-round. So we're really hoping that that trend continues this year, and we can set a record with our camping numbers. So overall, for the month of December, we're up 13%. If you look down towards the year-to-date revenue there, we're up in entrance permits, down just a little bit with our camping services, but overall, we ended pretty close to last year's numbers in terms of revenue. So excited about that. I think if you turn the page there and turn to page 60, we'll get into some things here that maybe speak to where we want to go with some of our processes and some of our changes. The first one I'm going to talk about here is our park entrance license sales. I thought you might like to see this. So the little circle graph there, there's three categories there. One is the big one is our local sales. So that's when somebody comes into the park, one of our managers, one of our staff sells them a park license. Kiosk sales. We started with our kiosks during the COVID years. That's basically a self-automated machine, much like you'd use at a bank. See the amount of revenue that has come in there, $1.5 million. And then online sales is through the Go Outdoor program, just under $1 million. Those two things there, thanks for bringing that up, Nick, on the scrap. Those two things there, we want to see the blue and the orange greatly expand, reducing the amount of staff time to handle those license sales. You'll see that with the camping members. That is what's going on there. We want to see the same thing happen with park entrance license sales. Trying to get folks to just take care of themselves when they come in, to have processes in place that allow for that. So that's kind of where we're headed there. This next, we have a pointer on here.
It's me.
Oh.
You don't get a control.
Yes.
Okay. If you look down at the bottom part of this, this gives you kind of an idea of how these systems work. There's a little bump there in the early part of the year, February, January. That's when our reservations kick in. That's when our online sales kind of jump up, and that's just how that works. And then as you see in May and early June, we have a spike in our kiosk sales for park entrance. Like, well, that's when people are first coming out to the parks and they're buying their park license for the year. So that's just kind of how that works. Again, our goal is to decrease the number of staff more local sales and increase the number of kiosks and online sales. So that's kind of where we're headed on that. Any questions about any of that?
Quick question. When the kiosks, and I know we've gone over this before, but just remind me, at every state park, is there an opportunity to have a kiosk so they can buy that entrance?
I believe, Madam Chair, we put out 92 or 94 of those kiosks, so we've covered almost every state park. There are a couple, because of the internet service, that we're not able to, but our goal long-term is to get them in every state park. So when you go into an entrance, it looks the same at every state park. Next chart on page 61. Again, I want to start on the right-hand side there. This is what I was talking about. You can see that the call center represents about 31.4% of our transactions or sales. The online sales is about 63%. These are for our park reservations. And then at the very bottom down there, kind of hard number to read here, but it's like 6%. That's what the local staff is doing. So it's just almost the opposite of what I showed you for the park entrance license. We're trying to decrease the amount of staff time spent doing that busy work and get customers to either do that either online or through the call center. We'd also like to see those call center volume numbers decrease. I think with our new Go Online, Go Outdoor system, I know myself, it's very easy to use. I've made a number of reservations when I was camping this summer, and I think it's better than the systems we've had in the past. And I think as people continue to get more and more familiar with it, we'll just see more and more switch to that. There is an extra fee if you go through the call center, because it costs us more money also when people make a reservation through the call center. So we pass that on to the customer. So if they go online, there is no extra fee for that. So trying to train people to do the reservations more themselves there. And I think we'll see that trend continue. And then we've already kind of talked about the parks PL there on the other side, but that's kind of how it breaks out. So you can see why we want to kind of change those, invert those numbers there, or percentages. So, you know, something else we're, Secretary Roebling talked about this yesterday with the legislation. If we're able to maybe make some changes with our park entrance license sales too, not have to handle those coupons for a second annual, that will also decrease the face-to-face need for staff selling those things, and we can direct them more to the kiosk or go online. So, yeah. Flip over the page to page 62 and start to talk about visitation a little bit. See, we had a very good, if you scroll down to the bottom of that, Liz, that's possible. You can see we ended the month at 31%. Overall, we were slightly above last year's numbers in terms of total visitation, just under 8 million. I think we had, let's just roll to the next page there. If you look at the bottom graph there, back in 2021, that was our all-time record for visitation during the COVID, height of COVID years, at 8.5 million. So we're only about 500,000 off of that. So we're hoping to continue to see those numbers increase. So I'm gonna go back up, jump back up to the top bar graph there. You can see for the most part the red line being 2023. We are typically every month above our average, the 12-year average there. And this last month in December, we actually set a record. So that was good to see, but we want that trend to continue. Some of that is always weather dependent with visitation. We hope for good weather. Probably today there's not going to be a lot of visitation in our parks, but anyway, Let's look down at the bottom bar graph there. If we were to draw a trend line across there, you would see a 33% increase over the last 20 years in our visitations, which is great. It's about 1.65% average for each year. We want that to continue. You know, the spikes in that, like 2011, you see a little drop there. Wet year, flooding year, if you remember back, that was when the Missouri River was very much flooding. 2019, again, extremely wet year. So those weather cycles really do affect our visitation. And then, of course, we have the COVID years of 2021 that really spiked up our use in our parks. And the good news is I think we've retained a lot of that use, as you can see, by 22 and 23, and we want to continue that. So, questions before I move into, oh, I got one more, flip over one more graph here, if you don't mind changing. Just wanted to give you this too, kind of shows you a little bit how our shoulder season visitation works over the years, how it's increased from 2012 to 2023. We've got three different months there, May, represented by the orange line, September, represented by the gray line, and then October by the yellow line. May and September are very close with each other, but you can see over the last 12 years there how we've really increased our shoulder season visitation. We want to continue to maximize that time. So,
what was the big increase for Fairview? What caused that?
You know, I noted that to Commissioner Beese. Some of it was the rally this year, but we just, I don't know. Some of that has been some of the programs we've been putting on there, but I think a majority of that was probably in the rally. So we're seeing some good use in the campground there too. So all right, let's move into camping. This is kind of the bread and butter of our operations. So if you turn to page 65, you know, again, we had a good month of December, up 3%. Year to date, we're about 1% down. We're really hoping we've kind of hit the new base or new bottom with COVID, and at this point we start going up again. If you refer back, we'll look ahead to some of the bar graphs, but I'm really hopeful that that's the case. We were able to retain a lot of our customers. We knew there was going to come a day when we'd lose some of our COVID bump, if you would, just customers going back to some of the things they did before COVID, you know. But we're feeling pretty good with that. Couple that with maybe some better strategic marketing. We hope that we've hit the bottom and now we're going back up again. So over this turn to page there. Let's, you know, again here you can kind of see in most months red line being the 2023 numbers. We were above our 12-year average. So want to see that continue. Hopefully we can get closer to most of those gray numbers or gray bars that represent 2020, which was when we set some records with our camping units. That's our goal, is to get back to that level. Again, if you look at the bottom of this page, you'll see this bar graph. Again, if we put a trend line on that from 2003 to 2023, 20 years, you'd see a 75% increase in our camping numbers. That's outstanding in 20 years. That's a 3.75% growth over each year of those 20 years. So, again, we're really excited about that. We want to continue that trend, and we feel like we can. So, Shoulder season, we'll move to the next graph there. Again, just a little idea on kind of like you saw in visitation, shoulder season camping pretty much mimics that. May and September are very similar. Drops off a little bit more in October. October is very, very weather dependent. So, and then if we can scroll down to the camping residency, I thought you might be interested in this. So our statewide camping residency breaks out with 33% of our folks statewide being non-residents, about a third, the other two-thirds being residents. Breaking it out a little further, Custer State Park, very different than many of the other state parks. 73% are non-residents, 27% are residents. Lewis and Clark area, another big area in our state, is about 50-50. Then if you include Pearson Ranch and Chief White Fan Indian gets, that's the first one, is 47%. That includes Lewis and Clark, Pearson Ranch, and Chief White Crane. Those three areas make up 47% non-residents and 53% non-residents. If you just factor out Lewis and Clark, it's really closer to 50-50, which has been kind of the historical number we've had in terms of a breakout there for campers. And then the last bar there is all the other parks outside of Lewis and Clark and Custer State Park. And you can see that pretty much 80% of our residents use those and 20% of our non-residents use those. So with that, I have one more page, and that's our modern lodging. As all of you know, this past year we put an emphasis on that. We actually set some goals. We're going to continue to strive towards meeting those goals in 2024, but the good news is we did see a 13% increase in our overall modern lodging rentals this last year. We're really excited about that. We'd like to have a similar increase to that number this next year, and I think we can do that with more effective marketing. You know, our biggest challenge is just getting people out there to know what we have, really, truly know what we have. I think back to one of our park managers who creatively, on one weekend, opened up Palisades Lodge up at Palisades near Garrettson to the local community and the campers in the park. And the number one comment for most of the people that walk through is, "Oh, we didn't know you had this." So we got to do a better job of that. We've explored getting on different sites and getting positioned where we can market those things. It's challenging. We don't maybe have some of the same opportunities some of the private sector establishments with the Airbnb and VRBOs have, but we think there's some things we can do to improve that, so we're going to really look hard at that this next year. So with that, I'll take any questions, Madam Chair.
Any questions for Jeff? I do have a couple. I'm going to first ask about the marketing one. Have we ever, and I'm going to look to Nick to this, do we ever purchase TV commercials? Is that allowed within our realm?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair. Nick Harrington, Communications Manager with Game Fish and Parks. We have done TV commercials in the past. Particularly, we have a couple of state parks that have their own marketing budgets, such as Custer, Lewis and Clark. Same with our outdoor campuses. They have done TV commercials. They have worked with those entities. Through kind of our central peer, Game Fish and Parks, we really have not. We've seen more success with those digital advertisements. Again, I look back at our aquatic invasive species and gas station TV. So we have shared that message with outlets in select commercials. So a good example of that would be we were given a great deal on a Bassmaster Classic that was still needing to sell some advertisements, so we shared that with them. So to answer your question, yes and no. It kind of depends on the situation, but we have really felt that putting our eggs in the digital baskets and the social media baskets and the display ads is where we focus those efforts.
Okay, thank you. And then real quick, Jeff, when you were talking about the call center and there's a fee for folks when they call in and utilize that, the services there, are they told that there's an additional fee or?
Yes, I'm going to phone a friend here and out. I believe they know that right up front. You want to repeat the question?
When folks use the call center and there's a fee with the services to use that, are they told that there's additional fee versus if they were to go online and do it, they don't pay that fee?
Madam Chair, Kevin Roland here, Secretary of Game Fish Parks. Our customers do not know there is a $6 service fee when they call the call center. That is a cost that we incur as a department through our e-commerce system. So, no, to answer your question, our customers are not aware of that fee that is charged to the department.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other
questions for Jeff? Looks like a good year to start off. Thank you.